Welcome to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast, the legal English podcast for non-native English speakers that helps you improve your English listening, improve your legal English vocabulary, and build your knowledge of American legal culture. Okay, so Steve, in a previous episode, we were talking about a course that you were going to be teaching. And we left off with using the States Act as a way of introducing the peculiarities of federalism in the United States.
And yeah, that was a good, you're giving a good summary of an episode in which we talked about summarizing.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, that's why they call me the great summarizer. Anyway.
So, wait, they really call you that? Who calls you that? I don't remember. Oh, yes. Of course they call you. I'm sorry. Yes. Everybody.
Anyway, so usually after federalism, I started introducing other aspects of government in the United States. And among other things, I'll introduce the Supremacy Clause from the Constitution. So that might be something that you want to do.
Wait, the Supremacy what?
The Supremacy Clause.
Oh, what's a clause?
That's a great question. Now, you being Mr. Grammar, you know what a clause is supposed to be.
Wait, you're the great summarizer and I'm Mr. Grammar?
Our
tag names or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's going to be a Marvel superhero movie about Mr. Grammar and
saving the world by helping people with their grammar.
Okay, so I would say a clause in the Constitution is either a sentence or part of a sentence in the Constitution. And often these clauses, especially clauses about which a great deal of case law develops, get a special name. And the name is usually derived from key words from that sentence or that portion of a sentence. And as you know, in Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, there is a clause that says that the Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. And there's some words there that I omitted, but in sum and substance, we learned that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and federal law is going to essentially preempt or displace state law if there is a conflict between federal law and state law.
Wait, so a clause in the Constitution is just kind of like a short phrase. It could be a phrase, or it could be a clause, or it could be a whole sentence. Whereas a clause grammatically is a group of words that has a subject and a verb. But it was interesting because then you kept doing the and thing, and each of those ands create new independent clauses. But that's different than the clauses you're talking about in the Constitution, which I think it has a broader sense of the word clause. But that's not what we're here to talk about, is it?
Well, you see, but now I feel like you're not only Mr. Grammar, you're also the great summarizer. Like I'm not sure I did as good a job summarizing as I thought I would, but. I'll make an excuse that we're recording this late at night.
Maybe I can be the great grammar summarizer. So anyway, so yeah, you were mentioning the Supremacy Clause, and I was thinking about there's also the Commerce Clause and the, what are some of the other top 40 clauses of the Constitution?
There's
the Ice Cream Clause.
There's Santa Claus. There's
Santa Claus. That's, everybody knows that one.
Well, there's the Establishment Clause, which provides that the government cannot establish a religion.
There's the Dormant Commerce Clause, which is kind of like the Commerce Clause, basically the same thing.
Ooh, that's really interesting, because the Dormant Commerce Clause is actually implied, right? It's not actually explicit.
It's part of the Commerce Clause, but then it's like this extra little wrinkle that's not actually there, but then we assume it's there because it's not there.
Another key clause is the Due Process Clause.
Oh, yeah.
The Due Process Clause comes up a lot.
Yeah.
The Double Jeopardy Clause.
not in my personal life, but maybe in yours. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, so back to the supremacy clause. So it's the supremacy clause based on the word supreme in that clause, which is says it's the supreme law of the land. So we call it the supremacy clause because it says that federal law basically preempts all state laws, right?
Right. So federal law will preempt state law under certain circumstances. And so a whole body of case law has developed to determine under what conditions federal law should preempt state law.
Wait, can I challenge you?
Sure.
Okay. So we said it that federal law preempts state law. I want to challenge you to come up with a synonym, and then I'll come back with another synonym. We'll go back and forth till we run out of synonyms.
Okay. And I assume the word that you want a synonym for is preempt.
Yes.
Okay.
Federal law.
Okay. Displaces
state law.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Do you want synonyms for federal and state or just?
No.
Preempt. Okay. Federal law can displace state law.
Okay. Federal law can trump state law.
Federal law wins over state law.
Federal law takes precedence over state law. Come on, Dan, you can do it.
Federal law overcomes state law?
Boop. I don't know about that one. How about federal law supersedes state law?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
That's a good one. I think I'm out. I think that was my last one. I think I just barely edged you out.
Did you have a thesaurus handy?
No, I didn't. My brain. My thesaurus is my brain.
Okay. I thought I heard clicking in the background, so I'm not sure.
So now I am also the great synonymizer. Synonymizer. Okay. So back to the supremacy clause.
Right. So what I do is we read the supremacy clause. We summarize it.
Uh-huh.
And then I pose the following question. And I usually have sort of this, wait a second moment, because we just talked about marijuana law.
Yeah.
And now the question is, does federal marijuana law preempt state marijuana law? So at the time that this recording is being made, generally speaking, federal law criminalizes selling or using marijuana. Some states have either legalized it or decriminalized it. And so the question that I pose to the students is, well, does federal law preempt state law when it comes to marijuana?
Okay. And preempt means like, if you got to choose between, you know, if somebody's forced to choose between the two, the federal law is going to win.
Right.
Federal law is going to apply.
It will supersede state law.
Ooh, nice synonym. Yeah. I think that you stole from me.
Right. So
I probably stole that from you like a couple years ago.
But in practice, it's rather significant, because in the event that there's a conflict between these two laws, presumably a court will strike down the state law because there's just no room for it. It's gotten pushed out by federal law, which is another synonym I could have used.
Right.
Pushes out, knocks out the state law. So that's the question that I pose to the students.
So in other words, if I am in Colorado, which has legalized marijuana, and I go and buy and use some marijuana from a state sanctioned store that's following all the Colorado guidelines, could a federal agent come up and arrest me?
Well, they could anyway. That's generally speaking, if you violated federal law anyway, you could still be prosecuted under federal law. But this question goes to, does Colorado have that power to legalize marijuana in the context of the supremacy clause? The question is, shouldn't that Colorado law be nullified based on
invalidated. Nullified, invalidated. Come on back. see if you can knock me off.
I was just sort of playing along with you before trying to make you feel good, and I figured I would just sort of start introducing all these other synonyms. I'm not the great synonymizer. But I'm slow and steady.
Okay. So anyway, so it's really not about. So it's an of course a federal agent could arrest me under federal law in Colorado if I go to a state sanctioned store. But the real question is the Colorado law, can it even exist? Should it be instantly vaporized? That's kind of a stretch of a synonym there.
Yeah. I'm not sure the framers of the Constitution were thinking that, you know,
like disintegrated.
Yeah, we're going to vaporize conflicting state laws. But yeah, that's the question. And so I pose the question to the students.
Yeah, and what do they usually say? Do they understand the question, or do they misunderstand it like I did the first time?
No, in fact, many of them actually raise the question themselves based on their own background studying U.S. law. And so I ask the question, some of them express opinions on it, some of them ask me, but that's really the segue for this is I say, well, great. Now let's try to answer the question the way a U.S. lawyer would answer the question, which is we would run to the cases and we would run to case law interpreting the Supremacy Clause so we can get a better idea of whether or not federal marijuana law should preempt state marijuana law.
Oh, so just because the law in the Constitution says that it's the supreme law of the land and there's the Supremacy Clause, that doesn't tell us enough to sort of answer this question. We got to go look at a whole bunch of cases.
Yeah, I mean, I have the students look at one particular case, but you're raising a really important point. You know, the U.S. Constitution, on the one hand, it's the supreme law of the land, but it's a relatively short document, and there's just this huge body of case law that's developed out of it. And it's a great introduction, I think, for international students to see how even if we have something written in the Constitution, there's still going to be really important case law interpreting it, and U.S. attorneys are going to rely on that case law when presenting their arguments to court.
Yeah, and I guess that's with any statute, any sort of written out law, you got to go to the case law to really know what it means.
Absolutely. So
what case do you like to go to?
The case that I choose for their reading is called Arizona v. United States. Uh-huh. And it's a relatively long decision. So I just asked them to read a certain portion of it. And I'll show you the portion that I asked the students to read because it's just a few paragraphs.
Oh, so Arizona versus United States. What, Mr. Great Summarizer, what was that case about?
The case was about whether... now I want to vaporize you. The case was about whether it was constitutional for Arizona to empower its police officers to enforce immigration law.
Oh, because Arizona is on the border with Mexico, right? And so Arizona was trying to, they cared a lot about people coming over the border not legally and being undocumented immigrants. And they said, well, if the government's not going to, if the U.S. government or the federal government's not going to stop this, we're going to pass our own law and we're going to send our police to go do it.
Right. So essentially it was Arizona police officers now being charged with enforcing aspects of federal immigration law.
And what's wrong with that? They're all police officers, right? They're all law enforcement. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, that's what Arizona said, and in fact, I think that's kind of what some Supreme Court justices said. Oh, great other summarizer. But essentially, the Supreme Court struck down quite a bit of the Arizona legislation, saying nope, Arizona can't pass these laws because of the Supreme.
So when you say they struck down, like they said, that's not okay. This Arizona law is not acceptable.
Right, right. The law was vaporized, using your legal terminology.
So if you guys, our listeners out there, if you're writing a legal memo, don't use vaporized.
Right. So the law wasn't vaporized, but much of the Arizona statute was struck down as unconstitutional. And the real value of the case for our purposes is the case provides a really clear explanation of when federal law will preempt state law.
And like a test sort of?
Yeah, well, they provide three circumstances under which federal law will preempt state law. So
okay. And what are those circumstances?
Well, let me ask you, do you know the circumstances?
Do I know the circumstances? Yeah. Well, of course I know the circumstances.
Okay.
I think. Let's see. One of the circumstances. No, it's slipping my mind right now. Okay. I think this is going to be something else I steal from you.
Well, this is actually another really great opportunity for the students to try to summarize something. But
oh yeah,
there's express preemption. That's where the Congress passes a law, a federal law, and there's a provision in the statute that says it's preempting certain state laws, which might come.
So like if Congress passed an immigration law and said only the federal government's allowed to deal with this, states are prohibited from dealing with this.
Right.
This immigration issue. So if there was something like that, that would be an express preemption.
Right. That's exactly right. And the second way is it's called when law students study this, it's called implied preemption. But the idea there is, even if Congress doesn't say explicitly, oh, we're preempting state law, the idea is that Congress has passed laws that are so vast and wide, and Congress has shown that it wants to be the sole regulator of certain activity, that now, okay, there's no room. There's no more room for state law in this area. So the state law is going to be preempted.
Ah, okay. So they say they didn't say we're in charge of all of this, but they're acting like
the
federal government's got a monopoly on this area of law.
Right. So states, okay, no room for you. And finally,
and there's a third one?
Yeah, the third one, this is where there's a conflict between the federal law and the state law. And this is sort of the trickier one. Well, I don't know if it's the trickier one. But this can be a bit tricky, because the idea is, well, what is a conflict? And on the one hand, it would appear that, I think, just sort of a common sense definition of conflict is anything that's different. Well, that sounds like a conflict, right?
Right.
But the legal definition for purposes of preemption is that it's impossible to comply with both laws. And an example would be, let's say federal law required doctors to never administer marijuana as a pain medication, but then a state law required doctors to administer marijuana as a pain medication. And these are the circumstances where a doctor would have to say, well, if I comply with state law, then I'm automatically breaking federal law. But if I comply with the federal law, I'm automatically breaking the state law.
So that's like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Or between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, yeah. So, good one.
So I think that would be the type of conflict that the Supreme Court is talking about.
Okay. So in the Arizona case, which which one of those three was the one that ended up applying to the Arizona law, or did any of them?
It was implied. I think that there was this Congress had such a monopoly on immigration law and the enforcement of immigration law that the majority on the Supreme Court said that the Arizona was simply interfering with the federal government's enforcement of immigration laws in the United States. And so that was it.
Right, because the federal government has to deal with immigration at all borders. There's a lot of states that have entry points and borders. So if one state's doing one thing, that could end up being different from other states doing other things. And Congress, I guess, has an interest in making sure that there's sort of a uniform application of the immigration law. So I guess that makes sense.
I think it's a good point. And it's an interesting case to read, I think, for all sorts of reasons. And the dissent, as and I don't recall exactly, but I think Scalia wrote, Justice Scalia, who has since passed away, had a very strong dissent arguing that this is not a situation where there should be preemption. And it's an interesting case to read just to get insights on the interplay between federal law and state law in the United States.
Tying it back to the Marijuana States Act, Marijuana-related States Act, how would this test apply, do you think?
Well, this is where I think you should have your students just walk through the analysis. And because one of the things that I try to tell the students is this is a great opportunity to start practicing your own legal English in terms of taking a rule and then applying it to a set of facts. I think the general consensus would be that there is no conflict because no one's being required to violate federal law. In fact, there was another case called Gamble v. United States where the Supreme Court essentially said that, of course, states have the power to legalize marijuana if they want to, because we can have two different sets of laws in the United States, federal law and state law. So that's, I think, would be considered the right answer, that preemption doesn't apply. But I think one of the things that you probably tell the students is, well, in this case, regardless of whether or not your answer is consistent with what most people would predict to be the correct answer, if you do a good analysis, it's a great way of practicing your legal English.
Yeah. So like if you do the analysis on the second circumstance about implicit preemption, for example, where does that take you?
Right. And I think some students have really come out and said, oh, well, look, it looks to us like, you know, the federal government has so many drug laws. Well, maybe there's just no room for a state law that says something different. And I don't think that's necessarily the right conclusion, but it's an analysis, and the students using the language from the case, they're rephrasing it and they're applying it to a set of new facts. And it's great practice as you begin your U.S. law career.
Yeah, it's definitely asking the right questions. It's thinking about the rules as presented or the laws presented by a court opinion and trying to apply it.
Right, right. And I think I think students should feel really good if, no matter what answer they come up with, if in fact they can identify these different rules that they read in Arizona v. United States and then just try to apply these rules to our circumstances. And, you know, even saying like, well, I don't know whether or not Congress has explicitly preempted state law, but I don't think it has. So assuming they haven't, that first prong is out. So we have to start looking at prong two and prong three. And that's just great to watch.
It seems like this is a really, I mean, I see now, stepping back, how this ends up being a really nice sort of mental journey through federalism and the interplay between state and federal law, as well as between sort of statutory and common law.
Right, and I hope it's helpful in your class. My prediction is you're probably going to have students write these analyses, and then you'll have them vote on which one they like best and why.
Oh yeah, I do like to do voting.
Right, right.
And synonym challenges and things like that. Okay, well, thanks, Dan. I guess I'm gonna. This is another idea that I got to steal.
Well, yes, steal away, and I look forward to hearing how it goes.
Okay. Okay, I'll talk to you soon, Dan. Stay essential.
You too. And everyone, please follow us on LinkedIn and on Facebook, and talk to you soon. Stay essential.